begins in Psalm 24. It says, the earth is the Lord's, the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. Now, he made the world. It's very clear. John said he was the maker. All things were made by him. He created the earth with the Holy Spirit at the Father's command. And the enemy stole that. And then he gave the earth to man. He gave the earth for man to have dominion. And the enemy stole that dominion. When he came his first time, a savior, he did not take the world back, but he took the keys, but he didn't take the world back. He didn't take control of the world, but he's going to take control of the world. His second time he's coming back, he's going to take over. He left Rome intact and all that because he was after the new birth. He was after the born again believers, bringing them out of eternal darkness into his marvelous light. His second return is all about his recovery of everything that's his. That's why it's saying it is his, because it's the Lord's, the fullness thereof. He's coming back. All the kingdoms of this world will become the kings of our God. In this generation, that's going to happen. It's going to be the most profound thing. A lot of the judgment parts, I don't believe will be here for when he really gets after it, but he's going to manifest his glory to the world before he lifts the church out. Amen? And we're going to be part of that manifestation. In fact, this chapter has that in it. It said, for he founded upon the seas and established upon the floods. Now he's going to get into some very powerful things. He's not changed the subject. It kind of looks like he did, but he hasn't. This is how he's going to return into the earth. Isn't when the Lord left the earth, all of that has to return and has to legally return. He has to legally return into the earth. And so there's a generation that God has called to usher his return in. And we are that generation. So it says, who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? So who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who's not lifted his soul unto vanity or idolatry, or nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing of the Lord and the righteousness from the God of his salvation. There's a whole lot in these scriptures I'm going to back up. He said, for this is the generation. Say, this is the generation. Say, we are the generation. This is the generation of those that seek him, that seek thy face. And if you have the right translation, King James doesn't really get this one right, but a lot of translations say that seek the face of the God of Jacob. Say, seek the face of the God of Jacob. He's specifically referring to the Genesis 32 exchange that Jacob had at Penuel, which means face of God, that Jacob had an exchange there. He says, there's a whole generation that's going to have that exchange. Let's give him glory. So this is back up just a little bit. There is a generation. It's an ascension generation. It's a generation that understands how to ascend in the Lord. Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? He that hath, who shall stand in his holy place. He's not talking about a natural hill. He's talking about Zion or the glory of God, right hand of God mountain. That's what he's really referring to here. And he said, he that hath clean hands and a pure heart. Now there's a kind of a dichotomy here. He said, he that hath clean hands, pure heart, who's not lifted up his soul to vanity nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing and the righteousness of the God of his salvation. So, that's what he's saying. Says, who's going to ascend? You have to have clean hands, pure heart to make the ascension. You can't be lifted into idolatry. But then you're going to receive, once you have clean hands and a pure heart, you're going to receive the righteousness from the God of your salvation. So you got to have righteousness to receive righteousness. You see the catch 22 there? Who's going to ascend the hill of the Lord? He that has clean hands, pure heart. You're going to receive something. You have to have clean hands, pure heart to receive clean hands and a pure heart. So obviously, there's something here he's trying to say. This righteousness he's speaking of, verse 5, is a manifested righteousness. A manifested righteousness. He received the blessing. There's a generation that will receive the blessing. There's something God has in store for this generation that's not upon this generation, but it will be upon, because it's presently in the right hand of God, but it will move down into the earth in a manifested form. But the first thing he said, he had clean hands and a pure heart. Now listen, Paul said, he spoke, in fact you should go over there, Philippians chapter 3, just for a minute, just slide over there and we'll come back to Philippians chapter 3. This is Paul, probably the single greatest Christian of the New Testament. I don't see very many greater than Paul. Maybe John, but Paul, he's top one. He's a one percenter. Verse 8, he talked about being a Pharisee, Hebrew of Hebrews. Talked about all his zeal. And then verse 8, yes, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ, of whom I've suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung that I may win Christ, and being found in him, say found, in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is the faith of Christ, the righteousness of God which is of faith. Now, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. See, Paul was after something too. He saw the end. He saw the perfection that would be obtained. He saw the glory that's going to be obtained by the final jury. And he was looking for it. He was looking for a resurrection of his body. He wrote this in the latter part of his life. He wanted an Enoch type, Elijah type resurrection. That's what he was looking for. But he said something, to be found in him, not having mine own righteousness. Now you have to understand something. This generation is not like that one. That generation was born under the law. They taught the law. He was a Pharisee. He taught the law. He had to keep the law perfectly and blameless. Say perfectly and blameless. So the Lord, they did this all their life. That's all they ever knew. That was their relationship with God, was about their works and keeping that law. And suddenly God comes in and changes everything. The whole thing changed. That's why God gave them such grace. And such powerful testimony. Such glorious testimony. The Lord came out with miracles and power. He gave that generation so much because he was going to have to shift them. And in Paul, God was going to use somebody that was so deeply steeped in it that he would go so far as persecute the church for his belief in who he was. And God changes him, but he had to teach him, you cannot obtain what I want you to obtain by your works, by your toil, by your labor. He said it. He said, concerning the law, I was blameless, but I count all that but dung. He found something in God that was far beyond any perfection he could obtain by keeping the commandments. If you're trying to find something with God and trying to be a goody, 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 you have to walk in his goodness, don't get me wrong, but your approach to God can't be that way. Your approach to God has to be what Paul found, to be found in him, not having my own righteousness. It was a free gift the Lord had to explain to them. You can't work for this. It's grace. It was a free gift the Lord had to explain to them. This is grace, Paul. You got to do this by grace. You got to do this by faith, not by works. It took him a lifetime to learn that. That was their mountain in the early days. They had this shift from works to grace. That was something they had to obtain. It seems kind of easy now, but you weren't born in works. You weren't born keeping. You weren't taught from day one. You weren't a Pharisee by the age of 7. Memorize all the law. They were. They had to unravel all that stuff. They had to unload and reload. And how to find a new way of doing it. This is what he's talking about. Found in him. Say found in him. not having my own. So go back to Psalm 24 with that in mind, because this generation said, he that had clean hands and a pure heart, if Paul, keeping the law blameless, wasn't acceptable to God, and it wasn't, then all of your perfection in the natural is not acceptable to this scripture. When he says he that had clean hands and pure heart, there's nothing you're going to do that's going to qualify you to ascend the mountain of God in the natural. The only thing that's going to qualify you to get there is to exchange, to be found in him, not having my own righteousness. We teach a lot about exchange. It's part of the way you go up. Do it all the time. It's amazing when you learn how to do it. When you learn how to receive by faith, when you learn to take off the old man, put on the new. I had a lot of training in that because I had a, you know, not one way amening, but I had a pretty, you know, active old man. So my active old man took a lot of exchanging. I learned to exchange because of him being so active. And so what I learned to do is bury him and put on the new. What I learned to do is accept that God had a free gift. That was the hardest thing ever. When you sin against God, and you have to accept the free gift because you can't stand in his mountain without clean hands and a pure heart, and you're not going to stand on your own merit. So every time, I mean, my call was to the mountain. I had no choice. Some people get the call to the world. Mine was up. Some get the call out. Mine was up. What happened is, like, he calls this guy with a lot of issues, but he keeps commanding you to come up. When did you feel like it? No. There were times, yeah, when the revelation was flowing, but when the old man was flowing, I didn't feel like anything. But I still had to get there. I mean, it was a compulsion of the Spirit that I had to go stand in his holy place. How do you stand in the holy place with God when you've got major issues? The prodigal. You had to get a new revelation of the Father. You got to get a revelation that God loves you apart from what you did. That God has a new robe for you. That God has new shoes. That God has a signet ring. He's got a clean white turban. He took away the brand. Joshua was a high priest, but a brand plucked out of the fire. Take away his filthy garments. I don't care how much righteousness you achieve in the natural, it's still not going to cut it. You still have to exchange with him. There's a generation that learns how to ascend, receive the free gift, and stand in the righteousness of the God of his salvation with clean hands and a pure heart. Apart from what you do, but accepting what he did and receiving what he did. See, you can say, I am the righteousness of God in Christ, but that's not going to help you until you learn to appropriate that standing, receive that standing, hold that standing. It was a battle. It was a huge battle for a long time because I had to do this by faith. It'd have helped if God had given me, but he didn't. He called this other guy out there. He says, let's bring that guy up. And I had to drag that old man in the presence of God. A whole lot easier to run from God and hide from God than to drag him into the presence of God. The normal response of man when you got issues is to hide. Just hide. Yes, Adam, like God didn't know where Adam was. He's probably standing right over, where are you, Adam? He's hiding, he's got fig leaves, trying to cover himself. When you sin, you don't want to be in the presence of God. But this call wouldn't leave. It required me to be in the presence of God, and I had to learn something in those days. That God loved me apart from the stuff. And I had to take the stuff and exchange it. It was remarkable. and take off that old man and put on the new, but I learned to do it by faith. And when I learned to do it, I learned to, these are remarkable things. Your feelings could be, I mean, they go from east to west. You'd be feeling like a dirty dog all the way to a son of glory within an hour's time. It's just the most amazing thing because there was an exchange being made because I wasn't putting on mine, I was putting on his. Freely you've been given, freely you receive. See, this is the generation that must ascend the hill of the Lord. They got to learn how to do it with clean hands and a pure heart. But you're not doing it with your clean hands, you're doing it with his clean hands. You're going to take his clean hands, his pure heart, and it's a generation that learns to stand in the glory of God. You got other things too, unworthiness. You got guilt from your past and unworthiness, and you're standing in the presence of God because, you know, when you weren't really nurtured in love, here you're going before the Father's love, the great love. Very intimidating. I had to learn to stand in his love and say, I'm accepted in the beloved. But it was that journey into the acceptance of the Father's love. See, your soul will tell you something a whole lot different than what God actually says about you. That's why you can't trust your own thoughts. You have to trust what God says. You have to trust his word above your own thoughts. Amen? So they says, this is the generation that had clean hands and a pure heart. To ascend the hill of the Lord and stand in his holy place. Ooh, I like that. To me, that's the courtrooms of heaven. And then God took it further, and he taught us how to stand further out. How to stand in holiness without blame. How to stand unblameable before him, because he said it. And then he took it further than that and taught us how to stand in a forever perfected state with him. Oh, I don't see that yet. We're getting there. Praise God. You got to receive it first. We're working on it. What's he say though? This generation that ascends with pure hands, clean hands, pure heart will receive the blessing. See, there's a blessing that's been apportioned to this generation and the righteousness of the God of his salvation. Now you already had to have obtained his righteousness to get up there in the first place, to stand in his holy place, correct? Are you with me so far? So what's the righteousness he's going to give you? That's the manifested glory. That's the manifestation of the sons of God that God is going to give to a generation. And then he goes on to say, woo! He says this, and he's described this whole thing I just described to you is what he says in this verse. This is the generation of those that seek him, that seek the face of the God of Jacob. He's specifically referring to Jacob's wrestle in Genesis 32. Penuel, that happened in Penuel. Penuel means face of God. He's specifically referring to that because Jacob was Jacob. That's a revelation, huh? God was not going to multiply Jacob. God was going to multiply Israel. Amen? But Jacob, he was a swindler, a deceiver. He was a man of great fear. You know all the things he did to his brother? Jacob is wrestling because he's afraid of Esau, and he's wrestling all night. And then God asks him, what's your name? He goes, my name is Jacob. But in that face of God exchange, God spoke to him from the face of God, you're no more Jacob. Your name, and God created a name. Man, don't listen to people on social media. People, there's a lot of anti-Israel stuff going on right now. It's getting really bad. Really picking up, and they're talking about all that Israel was created by the rock. Listen, Israel was created by God. It's the first time it was ever mentioned. God created that name. And he spoke it over Jacob. Israel means as a prince, you've reigned with God. You've overcome. You're an overcomer. He changed him that day. He literally gave him a whole nother identity. And as soon as he did that, he took him right back to Bethel where he first gave the promises. And then he re-proclaimed the promises to Israel. Because God was going to multiply Israel, not Jacob. See, in this process, there's of a generation that's going up before the face of the God of Jacob, there's going to be a glory and an exchange take place. And in that exchange, we're given new identities, heavenly identity. Some priests will become kings there. Old things will become new there. Amen? There's an exchange. There's a taking. It's like Joshua is taking away the old things and the Joshua with Zerubbabel and putting on a new robe, put new shoes, put a new turban, a new identity, a new mind. How many of you could use a new soul? Man, if you have a battle-weary soul, I want my soul born again. My spirit's born again, but I want new emotions. I don't want to wake up to these old emotions. How many of you wake up to old emotions like, right now I have to go up and exchange them. I want to wake up to joy. I want to wake up to peace. I wake up to love. I want to wake up to a river, a fountain. You know, in your glorified estate, you're going to have a fountain inside you. Your body will emanate life. You're not going to wake up to pain. You're going to wake up to coffee. I got to get some coffee. Give me some coffee. Triple shot. But your body won't need that once it's glorified. It'll emanate life. You're not going to have pain. You're not going to have weariness. There's a generation that's going to start receiving the glory of the age to come. It's going to start getting up in your body, your mind, your heart. I am not going to lay up in some bed with my mind gone. That is not going to happen. I will have a bright mind all the way to glory. Hallelujah. This body is going to start renewing in youth. I speak to it every day. I present it to glory every day. I present it for renewal every day. Praise the Lord forever. Praise God. Bury that old man. You represent that new one to glory. Hallelujah. You'll like the freedom. You'll like the fact you don't have pain. But I don't want to wake up to heaviness either. I don't like any of that. I like freedom. I like liberty. I like joy, peace. I like life. I like love. I mean, I like all that. So this is a generation. Receive the blessing. What's the blessing? Glad you asked. This is what we're about. You got the blessing and the righteousness. The righteousness is the manifested glory. It's manifest in the earth. This is the manifestation of the sons of God. You already had the righteousness because you had to receive it to get there. He's talking about a different kind. One that's going to manifest upon you here. Amen. So there's a generation that's going to go before the face of the God of Jacob at the right hand of God. There's a generation that's going to obtain the blessing. What's the blessing? Verse 7. This scripture, I do this almost every day. Lift up your heads, O you gates. Here's a clarion call to the generation. Come up to my mountain. I have something for you to obtain. Lift up your head, O you gates. Be you lifted up, you everlasting doors. You're a gate and you're a door. And the King of Glory, say the King of Glory, will come in. There's a generation that's going to usher in the King of Glory. He's going to step his feet back down in the earth. There's a generation of the church he's going to crown. He's sending his glory with a generation that lifts up their head, their everlasting doors. I am a gate. I am a door. I come up. I obtain the holiness, but I'm there to receive. I'm after something. There's some people that get up there and they're like, thank you, Lord. I am there to... I am laying hold of the crown. There's a blessing. This is the generation that will receive the blessing. It's the forerunning glory of His crowning glory. And the King of Glory will come in. He's inviting you to come up so He can step in. He's got to have your authority to re-enter the earth. The King of Glory is going to re-enter the earth through God's people. He's coming to his church. That's why he said, lift up your head, O you gates. Isn't that amazing? David caught all that. Whew. Lift up your head, oh, you everlasting doors. The King of glory. Who is this King of glory? The Lord. This is not his first coming. This is his second coming. The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. He's a lion. He's coming back as the Lion of Judah. You don't want to be on the wrong side of that equation. But he's inviting you to come and receive. He says it again. Lift up your heads. Oh, you gates. I am a gate. Even lift them up, you everlasting. I'm an eternal doorway. God's given me rights to stand there. I've been seated together with him in heavenly places. And the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? First, he's the Lord strong in battle. Now this one, he's the Lord of hosts, or the Lord of the angelic armies of heaven. He's bringing out the armies. The angelic armies are coming out in this generation. The chariots of fire are coming out. The horsemen are coming out. The warriors are coming out. The breakers are coming out. The ministry flames are coming out. The cherubims are coming out. The hornets. You know he has a class of angel called hornets? Those are the ones he sent in the promised land to sting the enemy. You are not alone. You are not just receiving a little ounce of glory. You are there to receive the King of glory. You're to receive the heavenly host. You're there to receive the blessing. If you really want to know what that blessing is, the seven spirits of God, his crowning glory coming out. You see what's in that chapter? There's an exchange there. It doesn't matter how you come in. You come in as Jacob. You're coming out as Israel. You keep going up. There's a day of transformation. Some people, all they want to do is see the Jacob in you. But God doesn't see Jacob. He sees the Israel in you. He sees the glory in you.
Go to Isaiah 62.
Say, I am the generation that seeks the face of the God of Jacob. I am the generation to obtain transformational identity. I am the generation to obtain life abundantly. I am the generation to obtain the glory of the King moving into the earth. We have a very, very specific call. Bring that and usher that in. You are a gate. If he would step in, why would he call you to come up? He's going to utilize the authority he's already given to the church. You're an everlasting door and you're a gate. And he's going to bring your door up into the heaven. He's going to step in. And you want to come down. You're like a donkey. He's going to ride you all the way down into the earth and manifest the glory.
Isaiah 62. This chapter also is about the return of the king. Man, Isaiah was, when he stepped up into the glory, he showed me the glory. He wrote of his day, he wrote of the Lord's first coming, and he wrote of his second coming. He got it all. He got exposed to him who was, is, and is to come. That's what happens when you get in the glory. You get exposed to the realm that's to come. That's the stuff that makes me happy. Verse 1, for Zion's sake, I'll not hold my peace. For Jerusalem's sake, I will not rest till thy righteousness there goeth forth as brightness, and the salvation like a lamp that burneth. The Gentiles will see thy righteousness, and kings thy glory. And you'll be called, watch this, by a new name. See that? A new name. That the mouth of the Lord shall name. This generation, you're going to get a new name. You're going to get a new identity. Get ready for it. I don't care how much Jacob's up in you. You are Israel. In the spiritual sense of God. Watch this, verse 3. Thou shalt be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord. A royal diadem in the hand of thy God. Isn't that awesome? He's speaking of the return and the glory of God. The glory of God will come over that nation. But it's going to come over his church first. Hallelujah. He said, thou shalt no longer be forsaken. That car wash I worked at, right next door over here, they'd open at 9, I'd get there at 8:30, and I'd walk back and forth. And this is exactly what I'd say. This scripture, my land is no more desolate, but I shall be termed Hesed. Because the Lord said, you're not going to get anywhere or do anything until you get married. That's what he told me. He says, when your wife comes, everything will begin. So what am I doing? I'm out there looking. And I'm walking up and down my life. And I shall be termed Hephzibah. That means to delight in her. My land shall come of Beulah. My land is married. I'm married. My land is married. My term Hephzibah. And every day I look. Then finally she manifested. Watch your scripture right there. And the Lord delighteth thee, and thy land shall be married. If you want to get married, you need to get the word of God. Quit trying to do it natural. And start speaking his word every day. My land shall be called Hephzibah. My land shall be called Beulah, termed Hephzibah. My land shall be married. Praise God. Don't worry about changing you. You'll get changed in the process. Verse 10, go through. See, this is a generation right here. Go through the gates. Go through. He's calling a generation. Prepare the way of the people. Cast up. Cast the highway, gather out the stones, lift up the standard. That's that right there. That's that map right there. Prepare the way. Behold, the Lord hath proclaimed to the end of the world. Say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your salvation cometh. The King of glory is coming back. His reward is with him. His work is before him. He is going to reward you. He shall receive the blessing. He's coming with a reward to those gates that have been lifted up. He's going to reward you and then his great works before him. But there's a reward coming to the gates, I'm telling you. To the windows, to the gates, to the doors that have been lifted up into the heavenly places. There is a great, great, great reward coming from the King of glory. They shall call them the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord. Thou shalt be called sought out. That's your new name. Sought out. No longer forsaken. Say, what's your name? Sought out. I'm sought out of favor. Favor is seeking me. Blessing is seeking me. Blessing's not running from you anymore. Favor's not running away from you. It's running to you. Glory's not running away from me, it's running to you! You're not in the wilderness anymore. You're standing in the gate of the Lord. Glory is seeking you out. Favor is seeking you out. The angelic host of heaven have come around you, seeking you out. Say, sought out. Say, my name is sought out! Next time you start feeling rejected, next time you feel unfavored, unworthy, say, I am sought out. My name is sought out. Stop agreeing with the enemy. That's why he wants to keep you down here. Because this whole realm is filled with his stuff. God's realm is filled with reward, glory, favor, and sought out. You're not going to be 50 people like it was before. Sought out of kings. Your wisdom will be sought out. The blessing on your life will be so great. Businessmen will seek you out. Those you once esteemed, they'll seek you out. You're not going to live rejected or forsaken. All up in a wilderness of abandonment. You're not going to be abandoned anymore. Sought out. Because you're not the old man anymore. You're Israel now. You've been given a new name. You went before the God of the face of Jacob because in your ascent to the mountain, he changed you. He gave you something that you couldn't give yourself. He gave you glory you couldn't give yourself. He made you something like he did Solomon that did not know how to come in or go out. He came out ruling nations. Say, I'm sought out. Sought out.